Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, by Polar, blood, sweat, and damage, by Premium Plus Sports, official travel agency of Babbittville Radio. That's premiumplus-sports.com. By Swim Run USA, that's usaswimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run yet, give one a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 2,806 grants totaling $4.3 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest is really the guy who sort of helped me turn my life around physically. He is the creator of RX5, and his name is Dr. David Clayton. Dr. Dave, it's been a long time.
Thanks for having me on the show, Bob. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure. So David, the first time I had you on the show was probably 4 years ago. I'm thinking it was in that area. And the two of us were talking about, you know, hey, listen, I do triathlon. I don't really have to worry about my nutrition. I can just go do an Ironman race and lose weight and I'll be fine. But what I noticed was I was doing Ironman back in the 80s and I weighed probably 158 pounds. And I think I was weighing like 185, 186 when we first chatted. And I was thinking, okay, I'm getting older. Probably the fallacy is, I'm supposed to gain a little weight as I get older, because that's what you do. Your metabolism slows down. But you changed things for me pretty quickly by saying, listen, in terms of eating, if it wasn't around a million years ago, don't eat it. And if it's got a label on it, it wasn't around a million years ago, don't eat it. And that just seems so simple to me. We immediately, my wife and Heidi and I, changed from regular flour to almond flour. She made me muffins every day with flaxseed and all that type of stuff, and got rid of bread, butter, sugar, salt, and went from 187 pounds, 164 pounds, and 24% body fat to 16. And I realized that so much of this isn't so much exercise. Exercise is important, but what you put in your body. How long did it take you, or when did you realize that that was really the case?
Well, I think your experience is very similar to a lot of people out there, where if you're younger, in your teens, 20s, maybe even the early 30s, you can make a lot of mistakes with nutrition, and because you're young and you're active, you don't suffer any of the consequences. But over time, that catches up to you, and I think we all have this same experience that those small mistakes that we're making over time start to accumulate, and you've got to be smarter and smarter as time goes on in order to maintain where you were. And I think this concept of the paleo diet, where you're living like a caveman 100,000 years ago, is the simplest way to understand how food really is metabolized by the human body. And when you think about the fact that we all evolved on this diet and that all of your internal systems are really fine-tuned for that nutritional profile, that's an excellent place to start. And what you see is that your organs, your metabolism, everything functions at its highest level from that platform. So when you make those changes, you're giving your body exactly what you need. And then, depending on what your goals are, you can fine-tune that to really, fine-tune your micronutrient intake, your macronutrient intake, to pull the lever and really move any metric you want. And whether it's, you want to lose some extra weight, whether it's you want to run a little faster, or in my case, I focus on metabolic problems like blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugars in my practice. Mm-hmm. So what I usually do is start somebody on that, and when we get those results, then we start to fine-tune it, and you'd be surprised how many athletes at any age still end up with the same metabolic problems that we generally associate with obesity or being sedentary, because it doesn't take much in the way of getting your nutrient balances off before you end up with the blood pressure or the cholesterol starting to rise. And that's really what got me into it, was right. It was my own personal journey like that.
what I see is people tend to think that, okay, I'm doing a lot of training. I just went for a five-hour bike ride, went for a half-hour run, and I'm having a pizza, and I probably need more salt, so I'm going to salt my fries. And there's a tendency to use food as sort of a reward and not quite understand that everything you put in your body ends up making a difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we all have that desire or need for the comfort foods, the reward foods, and, you know, no nutrition plan ever works if you're living like a monk and you're really feeling like you're depriving yourself. And I loved what you said about the almond flour muffins. And,
right.
You know, I've done avocado chocolate pudding and, you know, substituting out sweeteners like molasses or honey that have a lower glycemic index. So you can really enjoy that diet if you just get a little creative and relearn the comfort foods that aren't going to hotwire your metabolism.
What's fascinating is after, I mean, it's funny how the light bulb went on for me, and just it became very simple. If there was a plate with wheat thins and cheese, and there was something else with fruit and vegetables, it wasn't. I've never looked at this as a diet. I looked at it as a lifestyle change. Right? It made life so much easier, and I got rid of that whole mentality of, I guess my metabolism is slowing. Where did that come from, where people think that any of this has to do with, you know, your metabolism slowing because of age?
You know, I think it's really because we all have the same tendencies to gravitate to what we consider healthy foods in a standard American diet. And like I said earlier, when you're younger, you know, having a lot of white rice or brown rice or complex carbs or imbalances in the polyunsaturated fats. So some of these micronutrient imbalances that we see in this standard kind of healthy American diet, those don't catch up with you when you're younger, but they do when you're older. And then we say, well, if I'm already active and exercising, it's got to be just age and genetics, and it's just what happens. And I like this relearning about the metabolism and then getting smart about the nutrition and really targeted. And, you know, I like to say that, you know, you would train differently for a 100-meter sprint than you would for a triathlon. And it's the same thing when it comes to the nutrition, is you've got to pick your targets and then start to fine-tune your diet to hit those metrics. And, you know, when you're younger, it's all about, you know, strength and speed and stamina. And those things are important even later in life. But I think everybody has this experience in their 30s and 40s and beyond where the health metrics are also important, where the blood pressure, the cholesterol, the blood sugars, and those are, you know, worthy targets of your nutrition program and are totally in your control, not subject to age or genetics.
So the website is RX5, and that's spelled out, RXFIVE.com, and that's, you know, just going up. But you're already have people, you know, you're already coaching people. There's a Just Ask section. There's videos. Talk a little bit about what you want people to gain from the website, because it's funny. Myself, my friend Tony, my other friend Gary, it just made sense to people when I explained the whole philosophy, and they had radical changes. And a lot of these guys have been doing all different diets, the starve themselves diet, the just eat steak diet, the I'm eating a pat of butter a day diet. And this just became so simple for them. So what do you want people to find from the website?
Well, I mean, working with athletes is really what gets me out of bed in the morning, and really helping people get the results that you and my other clients have seen. But what I've done with the website is we've taken a lot of the one-on-one training that I used to do in my fitness center or in my practice, and we've put it into an online format where we've standardized a lot of the coaching and guidance. Mm-hmm. And all of the resource materials on the website are totally free. So all you need to do is go to rx5.com, create a profile for yourself, and then you can browse through the different programs that we have to fine-tune your own training to toward any health metric that you're interested in. And, you know, the Just Ask section is the part that I really love, because we've had about 100 people on the site testing it out, and we've seen that anybody can get the results that you're speaking of. just by going online and doing it in this virtual format. So you follow the standard resources, and then on the Just Ask, I'm the one on the other end of Just Ask. So you get that same coaching, and I'm there to answer questions and help, you know, kind of fine-tune your own personal training.
There's also, everybody's body is so different. Like when we first started this, my wife and I, Heidi needs her potatoes before her long runs. And what I realized is I go back to early Ironman days, and we always carbo-loaded on Thursday night. And I never had what I'd consider a good Ironman race. And now I sort of look back and think, you know what? I don't think my body functions that well on carbs. I think I function way better by eliminating rice and things like that. How do you determine what's right for different people?
Well, I think you're right in that when you're training, and you know, Heidi is a good example where she knows how to fuel her body so that she feels the best for her particular training. And I don't think you can take that away from somebody or re-educate that. I think you know your body better than anybody else does. But I do think that our bodies are designed for a certain nutritional framework. And once you start with that clean slate the way you did, then you can fine-tune some of that and increase your amount of sweet potatoes or, you know, whatever other starchy vegetables to, you know, to get the training parameters that you're looking for. But, you know, on the other note, though, our bodies are also more similar than they are different. I mean, we all share 99% of our DNA is the same from human to human, and our organs all function the same from person to person. So while there are differences, what I find is that the similarities are actually much more striking, and I find that over time, I'm giving the same guidance again and again, and it's really only these nuances, like what you mentioned with Heidi, where you see those personal differences.
When you look at success stories that you've seen over the years through the program, have there been people who've come to your when you had your gym, or who've come to you and you're thinking, man, this is going to be interesting, but you've seen the light bulb go off and they've turned things around?
Yeah, I think the important thing is, number one, having that goal, because, you know, the one thing I can't do is motivate somebody to change. No. So if you're happy, you know, with the way you are and you don't mind taking some pills and you don't mind aging the way everybody else ages, I'm not going to be able to tell you any different. But once you get that spark and you start looking at, you know, a blood pressure elevation or the extra 15 pounds or the cholesterol going up that you need to go on a statin, if that irks you and you get that spark that you say, I want to take control of this and I'm not going to write it off to age or genetics or, you know, something outside of my control, that's when it's really exciting to give somebody the coaching to really fine tune that. And what you see is that once you get, if you have the motivation, if you have the goal and you put a little bit of effort into it, it's relatively easy. I think you mentioned that you're not suffering with this lifestyle.
Love it.
Really enjoying it. And the results actually come very quickly. I usually recheck things like blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugars within weeks of making the change, because your body responds very quickly to changes in the nutrient balance.
So it's interesting because as a doctor in dealing with mainly guys, 45, 50, 55 years old, the natural thing would be someone comes in, their blood pressure is a little high, you prescribe medication, and that's sort of that's what you do as a doctor, right?
Right.
When did it start hitting you that, you know what, I'm not really liking this, that I think there's something better out there?
Well, I'm completely selfish and self-centered in this, because I started caring when it happened to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was in my late 30s. I was in the same shape that I had been younger. I've always worn a 32 pant size, and, you know, the weight was never a problem. Fitness was never a problem, but my blood pressure was skyrocketing and my cholesterol was going up. And I realized that I'm going to be on medication. And as quickly as I and my colleagues were happy to prescribe drugs, as soon as somebody's metrics went off, I said, I don't want to take them. And I started listening to my patients and I started realizing how many people were saying the same thing, that they wanted a shot, a real shot at lifestyle change before the medications. But unfortunately, when you look at the way doctors and frankly, most of society looks at these conditions, we equate it all to obesity and being overweight. And once somebody comes in and they're in shape and they you say, hey, listen, you know, Bob's running triathlons, what else am I going to educate him on? It's got to be age and genetics, because who has the time and the training to really get inside your nutrition program, figure out what you're doing wrong, and then have you exert that control? But we know that body weight is only one factor for a lot of these conditions, and that's why by the time you reach 60, over 90% of people are going to be on one or more medications or need them.
Wow.
Yeah, and that includes, you know, everybody who's in shape. It includes the guys with six-pack abs. It includes the guys that are running the Masters triathlons.
I see a lot of, a number of the doctors who come out to the Ironman Sports Medicine Conference every year. They talk about that they've tried to move to prescribing exercise.
Right.
People come in, and rather than medication, they're saying, okay, here's your prescription. You're going to walk 2 miles a day, right? And it's changing people's lives. And in that whole moment, do you see more and more of that? The medical profession is understanding that, you know what, maybe there's another way besides just putting people on blood pressure medication?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing that trend, and it's largely patient driven, meaning that, you know, if you look back 20 or 30 years, there was this exciting science of all these new drugs, and it was really great to be able to treat these conditions and have a big win where you put somebody on this new blood pressure medication and you've fixed the problem. But I think just the way we don't like our GMO foods and we don't like the highly processed stuff, and, you know, most people don't want now to be putting these chemicals in their body. They want to have control, and they would rather do it on their own. So I think you're seeing patients like me, mm-hmm. like probably you, saying, hey, listen, I want a real shot at this, and doctors are starting to respond. And I think the reason why I put so much effort into this RX5 program is that the reality is, in your standard doctor's office visit, most of the time, you are not going to get enough airtime with your doctor to get this kind of education. We're just too constrained. And, you know, and nothing has changed in the fact that very little of medical school and training focuses on nutrition.
Really?
So you're really looking at a few outliers, and there are the outliers out there where you're doing your independent study and you're integrating this into your practice. But I would say your average internist or family practitioner, would like to be able to give you this guidance, but the time and the training just don't allow it. So
the other thing I've noticed a lot since I've been traveling more is couples are either fit or fat, right? And I don't know that mentality, but I think it's along the lines of, well, what do you think? Well, tonight we'll get fries. We'll start working out tomorrow. We'll work on nutrition tomorrow. Do you see a lot of that, that it's people sort of empower each other to either we're both on board or we're just going to get fat together?
Well, I think it's 100 times easier to do this when you've got a strong support system.
Right.
And I mean, I've even seen it. I've got a 7-year-old boy, and you know, I did not have a child when I first started working on my nutrition program. And I can tell you that having a kid who wants to have a hamburger and he wants to have pizza, it is much more challenging for me to be disciplined. So when you surround yourself with people who are eating in a way that doesn't support your goals, it makes it a lot harder. So I think what we're both seeing when we look at these fit couples and the fit groups out there is that there's this strength in numbers, that it's easier to get success and it's easier to be noticed for your success when there's more than one of you working on it at a time.
I always look at our sport, running and triathlon and cycling, as sort of a little bit of the fountain of youth, right? It keeps people active. It's, you know, if you can't run because of your joints, you can ride a bike. Yeah, you can swim. When you're prescribing exercise, what do you look at? What are your go-tos?
Well, I would segment exercise into really two camps of highly effective exercise. And the endurance racing is certainly one of those.
Right.
It is really hard to to do that wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And the other is the short high intensity interval training. And now you're talking about the CrossFit, the Orange sure. Theory, that, and I really think that any other exercise is going to have a hard time keeping up with either the endurance or the high intensity. So as soon as somebody's ready to kind of weigh in on which one they're leaning toward, I would push them to be pushing their limits on either the short high intensity or the longer endurance training.
It's interesting because we've both seen it. You see people on the treadmill doing 15-minute miles, and you see people on the bike where their RPMs is 20.
Yeah.
And when they get off, they're feeling like, hey, I just put in 40 minutes, and I'm gonna go load up now because I'm a little deprived. I'm a little depleted. How do you encourage people to go to choose one of those and say, listen, I need you to do more high intensity, or I need you to go longer, but it still has to have some intensity to it?
Yeah, and I think there's honestly some benefit to getting up off the couch for sure.
No question.
But when you look at where the benefits of exercise accrue, they really are at these higher levels of intensity. So you see a real flattening of that curve. And then once you get to these higher intensity or longer endurance periods, that's when all of a sudden all of the benefits of exercise start to really compound. So I think for my practice, when I'm speaking with somebody, it's really about the goal. And if you don't have the goal and you don't have the motivation, then it's really hard to coach somebody to up that intensity. Although what I have seen is that once you've been pushed to experience what your body feels like, that runner's high or that exhilaration after a short high intensity interval, most people get addicted to it. So I think it's really about, number one, having a goal, and number two is getting up and just trying it and not being afraid of the injury, not being afraid of, what it's going to do to your body, not being afraid of what your peers are going to think of you. And what you see is that can really just snowball from there.
On the website, where you have, because one of the things that has been really helpful is recipes, right? Is
sure.
People, the muffins I have every day. And I think guys are a little different because I can eat the same thing every day, right? I could have these same muffins every day. I could have my bananas and the rest of it, where a lot of people may need more variety. But will this be part of the website as well?
Yeah, we've got a couple hundred recipes on there right now. And every time I hear you rave about Heidi's muffins, I am reminded I have got to get this recipe from you.
Yes.
I'm always on the lookout for good recipes. And what we've done is we've taken this couple of hundred recipes and we've created standard diet plans, a 28-day entree to this lifestyle. And with each plan, what we do is we fine-tune it for one metric, and a health metric in this case would be if you're looking to increase your HDL, which is the good cholesterol, mm-hmm. or then you'd be on one specific combination of these recipes. But if we were looking to lower blood pressure, for example, that we tweak the micronutrients in there, so we tweak some of the diets or some of the recipes in that plan.
When you were made the decision that you had to change stuff, right? What did you change, and what were the results?
Well, I'd say that where I was inspired was really this when CrossFit started to pick up on the scene, going on almost a decade ago now. But that was the first time I'd ever seen prescribed diet and exercise, where you go to the gym and you don't get to do what you want to do. You do what they tell you to do. And this was right around the time when I started to, have my own health metrics start to get out of whack. So when I started to research, all the different diets out there, South Beach and Atkins and Weight Watchers and, whatever else was out there, Mediterranean, it was really looking at the underlying research for all of these and tracking how that really correlated with what I knew about or even what I was learning about human metabolism and what drives blood pressure and all these other health metrics. And that's where I started to realize that the things that I was doing in my healthy diet, the things that my patients were doing in their healthy diets weren't actually the things that map to these outcomes. So, for example, cholesterol is a big one, right? There's 70 million people taking cholesterol medications right now. And one of the most important things you can do to lower your cholesterol is to increase the amount of dietary fiber. And the real benchmark for this is around 40 grams of fiber a day. Okay. So, but when you look at the average healthy eating American, and I've tracked people's diets for years, hundreds and hundreds of people, looking at their diet logs and calculating what a real healthy eater will get in terms of fiber, it's more like 16 to 20 grams. And in fact, unprompted, I can tell you that the highest amount of fiber I've ever seen a patient get before they've been coached to a target is 26 grams, and that was an outlier. So we, a lot of times as athletes, we're not thinking in terms of fiber for health or for gaming our performance metrics. You know, it's just loosely for constipation, right? You're like, oh, you know what, if you're constipated, go take some fiber. We don't think about that as being as important as protein when it comes to how your body's functioning. And that's just one example of something that once you're aware of the importance and you start to just pay a little bit of attention to increasing it in your diet, then you start to see these numbers just shift overnight. And again, I think for me and for a lot of my clients, there's an excitement in controlling these numbers where you say, hey, you know, if I see this goes up a little bit, I bring it right down. The doctor's really at this point just giving me some feedback as to what the metrics are, but the doctor's no longer in control of my health. Now I'm just using this as kind of a barometer of what my fitness and nutrition program is doing for me.
Do you look at, you know, it used to be people broke everything down in terms of this percentage of protein, this percentage of carbo, this percentage of fat. Is that something that you use, or is that something that's a little passé at this point?
I don't know about passé, because I never try to talk somebody out of what they are currently doing in terms of nutrition. So if you're on something other than paleo, if you're doing Whole 30 or something,
right,
then, you know, it's, you know, what I want to do is educate as to where the problem areas are. And if there's no problem areas, then, you know, then there's no motivation to change. But if you see something as an outlier, you say, hey, listen, you know, I'm doing all this stuff right, and the blood pressure, for an example, is elevated, then you say, okay, let's work backwards from there and let's see what needs to be changed.
Again, the website is RX5, and five is spelled out, so RXFIVE.com. And there's already all sorts of videos up there. There's a Just Ask section, 100 folks or so already just testing it out. And what are your hopes and dreams for the website? And, you know, do you want to be speaking to groups? Do you want to be running cooking and workout classes? What do you see for Dr. David Clayton moving forward?
Well, I think the goal of all of my work right now on the website is to provide a place where athletes in particular can go to get the type of coaching they need to apply their training and their nutrition to exerting greater control and almost absolute control over all of the important health metrics that we see as we age. And right now, people have really two options. One is you go to the doctor, and that's often not the right place to be getting intensive dietary counseling or training. And then you go to the fragmented universe of internet, you know, looking for some answer on the internet. And unfortunately, the problem with the internet is you don't know what's good and what's not. So what we're doing is we're standardizing everything around research and empiric evidence so that you can get something that is much more thorough than you would ever get in the context of a typical doctor's office visit, and much more credible and science-founded than what you can find on the internet. And what we're doing is we're really filling this need for people who say, I don't want to take medications. I want to apply my training, my nutrition, my motivation to being in absolute control of my health, no matter what age you're at or what level of fitness you're at.
I can imagine, because I was sort of that guy, you know, in my mind, I was still racing 25 times a year. And yeah, I'm gaining a little weight, big deal, but I'm still able to race. I look a little chunky in my outfit, but thought that was natural. Have you had that where somebody comes in and goes, Doc, listen, I'm running 20 miles a week. I'm riding my bike 80 miles a week. I'm swimming four times a week. What's going on? I shouldn't have blood pressure issues. I shouldn't have high cholesterol. Why is this?
Yeah, I mean, that is it happens all the time.
That's
it happens all the time. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where it's easy to chalk this stuff up to age and genetics, because it's so frustrating to not know what you can do differently. And again, I think it's a real gap in just, you know, this evidence-based, you know, evidence-based training towards these metrics. And I remember hearing, Bob, that I think after making all these changes, you ran your best race in how long? How many years?
After making these changes, all of a sudden, you know, it's funny because you start, as you gain weight, running isn't fun anymore. And so you run less. And then all of a sudden, when you lose 25 pounds, man, running's a little easier.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was blown away by how much easier it was to run some of these same courses where I was struggling up hills. And now I'm like, I wouldn't call what I ever do as flying. But I felt like that it wasn't the effort it was before. It made me realize, you know, I had two bowling balls that I was carrying around. And you're not going to do very well with two bowling balls, especially when you can be totally satisfied. I could have chocolate mousse with coconut milk. I could have this apple bread with almond flour. There's in this day and age, there really isn't any reason why not to eat healthy and still be able to have treats, right? It's changed so much with all the good stuff that's out there.
Yeah, and honestly, there is so much there's so great of a community out there around this type of a paleo diet that there is no want for recipes and creative cooking. And I would say the only thing that that I think is an issue is that you definitely have to be taking control of doing a lot of the cooking on your own. And luckily, there's a lot of paleo meal delivery services out there, and there's a lot more nutrition supplements that are in you know, in sync with this type of lifestyle. So I think it's getting easier, but you do have to be really taking ownership of your nutrition the same way any athlete would, frankly.
The other part that I hear from people is, oh, God, I travel a ton. You know, I travel a ton. There's no way. We have late night dinners. And what I learned was every restaurant in the world has chicken Caesar salad. Yep. And you can put a vinaigrette on there, right? That's not an issue. And when you're at the airport and there's people are waiting in line for Big Macs, you can go over to the little store and get a couple hard-boiled eggs, and you can grab the little thing with the celery and the carrots and throw away the dipping sauce and have some fruit. I mean, in this day and age, there really isn't any reason, because people are trying to cater to health-conscious folks, and I think it's a lot easier than ever before.
Yeah, and I'll make two points about travel and being out and about. Is number one is it's really important to be prepared. So if you know you're going to be traveling, pack some food, get a couple of bars, you know, make sure you're not going to be starving and making bad decisions because you're just famished and behind or late or anything. The other thing that I'll point out is that you really have to think about your ancestors hunting and gathering for their food. And, you know, 100,000 years ago, you took out a spear and you hunted down a mammoth buffalo. But today, you're really hunting and gathering through the restaurants at the airport, through the restaurants in this new city, hunting and gathering through the menus. And oftentimes what I'll do is think of it like a game, that I'm going to hunt and gather for my food in this new environment. And I am not shy at all about going to a place and telling the waiter that I want, you know, this side with this entree, and I want them to hold the salt, and I want them to use olive oil instead of butter. So I will be about as annoying as possible when I'm there, because I know what I want to eat, and most restaurants will make it for you. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, with everybody with their nut allergies and everything else that's out there, people are very specific with what they want, and I don't think that's a problem. Again, the website is rx5five.com. It's Dr. David Clayton. No question, having him on here 4 years ago changed my life, and not just myself. We had a number of our listeners who actually went to see Dr. Dave and turned everything around for them. I remember Tony telling me they went through the pantry and threw out stuff, and he lost 20, 25 pounds basically overnight. Just Ask videos are on there, all sorts of coaching tips, and Dr. Dave is going to be the guy on there answering all your questions. I bet you're pretty excited about the release of the website and the fact that you're going to be able to talk directly not just to me, but to a lot of other folks.
I am actually extraordinarily excited at the prospect of your listeners looking at this website, reevaluating what their goals are with respect to, you know, do I really want to take a medication? Can I really put some control into that blood pressure? I would love to see a lot of athletes come on here and really give this, kick the tires on this site. I've had a great success with the first 100 people that have been on there, and I think we can have a lot of fun with coaching everybody else that's out there.
As always, always a pleasure, Dr. Dave. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Again, we're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. Premium Plus Sports, that's premiumplus-sports.com, our official travel agency. By USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, grab a buddy and give one a try. They're a ton of fun. Also, our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we have now raised over $100 million, sent out over 23,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life in our first 25 years. Check us out on babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives forever.